Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Daily Tech News Show is made possible by its listeners. Thanks to all of you, including Michelle Sergiu, Kirk Stephenson, Miranda Janelle, and new patron Tanner.
Yay, Tanner.
Tanner. On this episode of DTNS, the TikTok craze that's sweeping the world, banning TikTok. Plus, Instagram commits to smaller creators right as they might leave TikTok, huh? And why trucking might beat taxis to become the world's first truly driverless industry. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Animal House, and sometimes I feel like I have, I don't know, amnesia? I'm Sarah Lane.
Producing the show from north of the wall, I'm Amos.
This is the Daily Tech News Show for, oh yeah, no, there's some kind of deja vu going on. I'm getting it too now, Sarah. Let's start with the quick hits.
I'm quite certain I have not read this before. The Financial Times profiled Apple's Vision Lab for developing AI in Zurich, Switzerland. Apple has acquired around 24 startups in the past 10 years in areas like AI reasoning, image and video recognition, data processing, search, and music content curation. Former Apple AI employee and Carnegie Mellon scientist Ruslan Sokolnikov says that chip power and concerns over inaccuracies have slowed Apple's introduction of AI features. We're all expecting to find out more about how far along Apple actually is solving this at WWDC on June 10th.
News publishers are either paying AI companies or suing them for not paying them. Let's go with the suing first. 8 U.S. newspapers owned by Alden Global Capital are suing OpenAI and Microsoft for copyright infringement. The complaint is for using their content to train models. That's pretty typical. New York Times is suing over the same thing. Removing identifying info, like journalist names, titles, using their trademarks without approval. And they also claim incorrect answers attribute to damage to the publisher's reputations. That's the first time I've seen that one. Meanwhile, the information sources say that Google has reached a $5 to $6 million deal with News Corp to develop new AI related products. But News Corp says they haven't signed a content licensing deal. This is for other stuff.
Beats announced new over-ear headphones, the Solo 4 line. They don't have noise cancellation, but they do support wired audio over USB-C and mini jack. They can play when plugged in, even if the battery is dead, and support both iOS and Android. They come out in June for $200. Beats also announced the Solo Buds. That's the company's first sub-$100 pair of wireless earbuds. They have noise isolation, not active noise cancellation, but, you know, depending on what you're looking for, that might be enough for you. The case doesn't have a battery to recharge. The buds have to be in the case and the case plugged in to charge. So a little bit different than what you might be used to, but you only have to pay $80. Available now.
Ooh, the Arc browser is the one with a collapsible sidebar and vertical tabs. It's only been available for macOS and iOS. until now. If you want to try the browser company's new take on the browser, Arc is now available for Windows. Arc for Windows is also the result of the browser company's work to bring Apple's Swift programming language to Windows as well. This might be the more significant part of this. Browser company has open sourced a lot of the infrastructure it used to build Windows apps in Swift. So this isn't a port. They built a Windows app from scratch using Swift.
French satellite company SES is purchasing Intelsat for $3.1 billion. That's in an effort to offer more options than those already provided by Starlink and Amazon's Project Kuiper. The company said in a statement that the partnership would have a fleet of more than 100 geostationary Earth orbit and 26 medium Earth orbit satellites. You might say, well, that sounds like a lot. Huh. By comparison, Starlink has around 5,800 satellites in orbit currently. Intelsat was looking at bankruptcy as early as 2022. Some say this was a bit of a fire sale, but in any case, SES's CEO Adele Al-Saleh stated that the acquisition was easier to clear from the regulatory point of view than a merger, and Intelsat's emergence from bankruptcy was also a factor.
All right, more satellites going up then. The U.S. may not be the last to ban TikTok. We got a few TikTok updates for you. So here's the first. At an election debate in Germany, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, who was taking part of the debate as part of her party versus in her role as Commission President, but still talking from her experience, said, "We know exactly the danger of TikTok." Pointed out that the European Commission was the first governmental entity in the world to ban TikTok from government phones, and she implied that TikTok could possibly face a similar situation in Europe to that which it is facing in the U.S. So she was very careful in her choice of words. She didn't say we're going to ban TikTok here too, but she did say don't get too comfortable. The U.S. isn't an exception.
Now, we have been talking about TikTok specifically quite a bit on the show as of late because it's been in the news, but TikTok may not be the last. The law that named TikTok also gave the president the power to identify other apps owned by a company controlled by a foreign adversary and ban those apps as well. Congressional aides tell the Washington Post that ByteDance's CapCut editing software is one of those, could be next on the chopping block.
Yeah, but I've been wondering if they would come for other ByteDance apps. CapCut, incredibly popular, even with people who don't use TikTok as a mobile video editor. I almost feel like that would get even more backlash than banning TikTok, but we'll see. And in another piece of evidence as to why ByteDance would probably rather not get pulled from the United States if it had its choice, it has more than doubled the number of sellers in the U.S. on TikTok shop to 500,000. Now, that may sound like a lot. There are 15 million TikTok shop sellers worldwide. So it's both growing in the U.S., which is good news for TikTok, but also not the majority of its TikTok shop revenue. If it does get banned, it wouldn't hurt it right away.
Yeah, I mean, 15 million sellers overall with not even 1 million of those, half of that being U.S.-based means, okay, well, perhaps on the up and up, but that's not a huge part of its what its users are doing.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see the spread now, right? The clock's ticking on ByteDance to file their court case. I am a little bit surprised we haven't seen it yet. They had plenty of time to prepare for it, but there may be some subtleties to the timing of when they file their court case that elude me. But they are going to file a constitutional challenge. It is likely to be on First Amendment grounds. They may make some other claims, but their consensus is their best shot is to say this is a violation of First Amendment rights. Foreign companies have been shown by precedent to have First Amendment rights in the U.S., so it doesn't matter that ByteDance is a Cayman Islands company or Singapore company or Chinese company. They would still be protected in their operations in the United States by the restriction on the United States from abridging freedom of speech into the press. So that's what they're going to go after. And I think they're going to be challenged on national security grounds. And I think they're going to try for an injunction. And the injunction would say, pause the clock on the 9 months that we have to sell TikTok or get banned, which is what the law says. But we're still waiting on that. Are you surprised, Sarah, that we haven't heard them file a case yet?
No, because I think that there's a lot of hedging of bets going on in this whole process from all parties, whether it is the U.S. government or ByteDance in general, trying to figure out how they can drag this out as long as possible, which could be years. And also, you know, what TikTok could do, you know, the whole sort of like, well, maybe if TikTok just like strips its For You algorithm, then the, you know, the company is getting less data from its users, and then that will appease lawmakers in the US. I don't think that's true, but that's something that, you know, has been floated by multiple people who have been
following
the story.
By people who aren't ByteDance. There's no chance in hell that ByteDance is going to give up that algorithm, or that somebody would want to buy TikTok without the algorithm. Also, China has said they will block a sale. So, yeah, I've seen those too, and I'm with you. I'm like, that doesn't seem likely. I don't know what bets they would have to hedge at this point. It does feel like they're drumming up pressure on them by having Ursula von der Leyen out there saying, I don't know, Europe, you know, nice TikTok you got here. Hate for anything to happen to it. Congressional aides saying cap cuts next. That's definitely trying to crank up the pressure on ByteDance. So it's interesting to me that you're thinking like maybe there's a deal being struck, because there's not wiggle room. If ByteDance doesn't get something, they either have to sell or they have to challenge it in court. But you're right. Maybe the fact that they haven't challenged it in court means there's something up. Maybe there's some talks.
I don't know. I've watched enough Law and Order to know that you can bury companies in a lot of different ways, figure that out. Not to say that is what ByteDance should do with TikTok, nor what it is doing with TikTok.
Yeah.
But these sorts of things tend to be, I mean, when you have a real hit on your hands, and this is not just user base, but, you know, millions of dollars being made for the company on a regular basis. I think you probably try to like reinvent it from scratch any way possible.
I bet a lot of people don't even realize that CapCut is owned by ByteDance, that it's the same company.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that when Eileen Rivera, who you may know, Tom, and I were talking on Apple Vision show recently, and she's like, I love CapCut. It is so great to, you know, for like editing mobile video on the fly, great results, works with my smartphone. I mean, she was talking it up. I did not know that was a ByteDance company.
Yeah. There's definitely something afoot when you're talking about CapCut. It's definitely putting pressure. Maybe there is a deal. Maybe, you know, maybe there's something cooking, some kind of compromise, because the president can kind of have some latitude to decide whether the terms have been met or not. I suppose somebody could sue the president over their decision and challenge it if they didn't like it. But my guess is that, you know, there's some bipartisan unity about what would be acceptable. We'll see if that's the case.
Well, speaking of social networks that have some traction, Instagram is making some changes to its algorithm to recommend more smaller creators going forward. It's also going to replace reposts with original content and recommendations, add labels to reposted content to make it clear that this originated somewhere else, and remove content aggregators from recommendations. Now, you might say, what's a content aggregator? You might have seen the same, you know, cute picture of a cat in four different places. That's aggregation in some form. There are others. Creators have repeatedly said the algorithm works against them. In response, Instagram has a new way to rank recommendations that will show eligible content to a smaller audience. If and when people engage with that content, the top performing set of reels will be shown to more people. Then the most popular of those reels will be shown to an even wider group, et cetera, et cetera. Supposed to kind of go back to organic, word of mouth. Instagram says this change will give all creators an equal, or at least better chance, of finding their audiences.
Yeah, I really like the changes that say those aggregators, right? Somebody who's just reposting other people's stuff. We're gonna if we detect that happening, we're not gonna give them juice in the algorithm. That's, I think, a good idea. I like the fact that even if a repost takes off, the algorithm's gonna show the original if we can determine what the original is. So even if the repost gets popular, the original starts getting the love, which I've seen lots of creators complain, like, I made this thing, somebody else copied it, posted it, and they're getting all the love from the algorithm. Those are wonderful. Promoting more smaller doesn't mean they're tiny. It means more of the smaller creators, I think, is laudable. I'm curious about this tournament style thing that you talk about, where it's like, we'll promote a bunch of stuff, and then the more popular that gets promoted more. Doesn't that just end up creating popular creators that the algorithm isn't supposed to be favoring? Like, I don't know how that's going to work in practice. I guess we'll have to see.
I don't either. And I've been thinking about this because I would think that the problem that, you know, if you compare Instagram and TikTok and Snap and, I mean, to some extent, X and Threads, I mean, places where you can get viral content that is, you know, a funny paragraph, a funny photo, a funny video, you know, some combination of all of those things. You sometimes, if you hang out online long enough, you start to see the same memes all over the place, which can be funny, but also repetitive. And for Instagram to sort of be like, you know what, we're going to be the place where you see different stuff, you know, everyone else is replicating everything, and we're going to be the place that you see new and unique content. That's a long bet, but I think it's a good one.
Oh, it's definitely tied to the fact that people are experimenting with alternatives to TikTok in the United States right now. Like, I don't think there should be any doubt upon that. If you're new to Instagram, but you're huge on TikTok, your first question is, how do I increase my audience on Instagram? And Instagram is telling you, here's how. You're a smaller creator on Instagram, even if you're big on TikTok, but don't worry. We're going to give everybody an equal chance at this. Your mileage may vary how that algorithm favors you in reality, right? But it's the kind of message that I would want to be putting out there to people nosing around from TikTok if I'm Instagram Reels, for sure, right?
Yeah. As far as content that's being aggregated and reposted, you know, often without proper attribution to the original author, I see that a lot. My dog has an Instagram account, Otis Redding Lane. He's very friendly if you'd like to follow him. But that in particular, because it's like, we follow all dog content, and it's like, cute puppies, cute kitties, look at the blue sky. You know, it's like, it's very sort of like vanilla stuff, and which is great. That's what I go there for. But I see a lot of the same posts where I'm like, wait, didn't I see this? Oh, this is a totally different account. That's like, you know, I don't know, some like bully breed aggregator.
Whatnot
kind of thing. Now, I'm not like super bent out of shape about this, but I would be if it was my photo. I would be really bent out of shape if it was something that I created that showed up somewhere else. And even if there was a link back to me, you know, without a conversation about that, that's a problem. And I don't think that Instagram is going to win the social network wars by just saying like, we don't deal with the, you know, the big like 3 million followers on TikTok. We want like the little 300 follower creator, you know, that we're going to push to the top of our algorithm. I think it's just more of a let's kind of clean the pipes, so to speak.
Let's
give people new stuff that they might feel fatigue in other places.
No, that's a really good point. They are not going to try to take these extra views away from their biggest creators that are some of the people driving the most traffic to Instagram. They're going to take them away from content aggregators. I mean, you can do the math here. It's like, oh, all these people reposting, we're going to take that traffic, give it to divvy it up amongst some smaller creators, but I don't think they're going to antagonize their most successful people, because they need to keep those people on the platform as well.
Indeed. Well, Apple Apple has a lot of power users, regular users, casual users, and then there are the rest of us that are somewhere in between. Every week, Eileen Rivera and yours truly host Apple Vision Show to talk about whether Apple's vision matches what we, the people, actually want. Please subscribe and join us. We'd love to have you. AppleVisionShow.com.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Pittsburgh's Aurora Innovation plans to start operating 20 driverless freight trucks on Interstate 45 between Dallas and Houston later this year. That corridor has been tested by driverless freight trucks by lots of different companies. It seems to be a popular place to go. Clients include FedEx, Uber Freight, Werner, and more, though they're all going to use Aurora's trucks to have some stuff delivered. They think they can have thousands of these trucks on U.S. roads within the next few years. The trucks save on fuel because the speeds are more consistent than a human driver, and they can operate longer because they don't need to rest. So you can run them 24/7. That means you can speed up deliveries and bring down the price of the deliveries. There's a lot of companies doing this. A lot of companies want to become the first one to do it. Aurora is just one that the Associated Press profiled here because they're about to start a new test. 18-wheeler barreling down the highway right at you, Sarah. You're in a little sedan. You look up and there's nobody in it. There's nobody driving. How you feeling about that?
First of all, Tom, I'm in an SUV, midsize.
Good. Okay, no, you're safer now. Yes,
I don't care if it's a sedan or a Corvette or a 16, 18-wheeler. No, I get your point. I have not ever been on Interstate 45, but I'm going to assume it is, a real thoroughfare because, looking at Texas on a map, the two, have some distance between them.
I've actually driven it. It's pretty boring. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Maybe so. And maybe that is why this is a great test for larger trucks. For the most comparable route that I can think of would be Highway 5, Interstate 5. Yeah, of course. Interstate, which is in California between Northern and Southern California, which I've driven many times over the years. Lots of big trucks. Lots of truck stops, where people are, they either pull over because they blew a tire or have to rest or, someone needs food. All of those things, if they were equal but take out the human element, makes this all make a lot of sense. Now, as to whether I feel safer, I don't really know yet. I've actually just recently seen a couple of Waymo cars, and I know that's very different. These are small sedans on city streets here in Los Angeles. The first time I saw one, I was like, oh my God, look, oh my gosh, make it a left turn, no driver, ah. And the second time I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, look at that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody's double parked. Look at you. Yeah, looks good. I mean, I have no cause to feel like this is a bad idea. I think that human drivers would say, well, you know, you can't, you know, no robot can drive as well as me. And I think that's probably true. But as far as long hauls, you know, saving on gas, not having to stop, no bathroom breaks, that, I mean, that just makes perfect sense.
Oh, I think humans may say that no one can drive as good as that, but it has been demonstrable that machines drive much better than humans. We all tend to overestimate our own ability to drive, but the safety testing on these, all the accidents for Aurora trucks were the fault of a human driver. In some cases, it was a human driver unexpectedly changing lanes in front of the autonomous truck. And then there were three accidents, some changing lanes and two rear-ending the truck. You can't blame the truck for that when somebody just hit right into the back of it.
And, so, you know, and we have lots of conversations these days about, you know, distracted driving and were you looking at a phone? And, you know, that's a huge factor these days. But I mean, just to be in a bad mood can be a really bad recipe for driving, you know, or just, you know, your mind somewhere else, or, you know, you simply didn't see the car, you know, in front of you. There are all sorts of reasons that humans, you know, get behind the wheel with absolute best intentions that it doesn't always work out that way.
So to get back to the wider question, you're going to see Aurora doing this. You're going to see Plus.ai. You're going to see Gaddick. You're going to see Kodiak Robotics, all trying to put autonomous freight trucks on the road in the next couple of years. They are tapped to pass the passenger vehicles in the rollout. Passenger vehicles have been making steady progress. That's why Sarah's seeing Waymo vehicles in Los Angeles when we haven't seen them here for a long time. They're expanding the market, but it's slow. It's slow expansion because they want to get it right. These companies don't want to have bad press from accidents. There's tons of that that has come out of San Francisco. Thankfully, nothing out of San Francisco has been as bad as what happened to Uber in Arizona when someone was struck and killed by an autonomous vehicle with a human safety driver on board. And that drove Uber out of the business. Where I'm going with this is if we have an increase in freight trucks on the highways, there is going to be an accident with a fatality at some point. It's just percentage chance. I don't want there to be, but you just know there's going to be. And at that point, autonomous freight trucks are going to have the same issues that passenger trucks have had on the safety perception. It's much easier, like Sarah said, to have a controlled access highway programmed into these trucks because there's fewer variables, there's fewer cars, there's not as many weird things like pedestrians and bicycles and weird turns and stuff on controlled access freeways. But that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is how the public reacts to a fatal accident with a truck that didn't have anybody on board, and how much is that going to set things back?
Yeah, and just one more point. I can think of a variety of highways that, at least on some part of the point A to point B, trucks, buses, you know, trailers kind of have their own area. If there were situations, and this would not apply to, you know, all highways, even if they go cross country or, you know, whatever, because of terrain. But if there could be a, like, this is where, like, the Amazon trucks are. Nobody else goes in that lane.
Yeah, dedicated lane.
That's something that, you know, that's going to greatly reduce the conversation about safety to humans.
That would be one of the reactions I might expect. Is like, okay, you can use these, but you gotta wall them off, which would be an overreaction. And I'm not sure it would be a waste of money, but it would be an expense that may or may not be required. Because as BioCow said, human trucking companies have fatal accidents all the time. The issue with that is we have someone to blame, right? We have a human. When there's nobody on board, you're blaming the algorithm. And when you're blaming the algorithm, now people are like,
all the humans who work at the company.
Well, you're not only that, but you're blaming all the trucks because it's all the same algorithm, right? They're all dangerous. Right. They all could do this. Whereas with a human, you can say, well, that person shouldn't have had a license.
Yeah, they didn't get any sleep last night.
Yeah, exactly. Or whatever. So I hate to be the negative person on this, but I have been thinking that freight trucks would be the more likely winner of the race to a real driverless industry, just because it's easier to do the stuff on the road and people are sort of used to being careful around big old semi trucks and everything too. But it's going to have to pass that hump and it's not going to be enjoyable when it does. So I still think 2 or 3 years is pretty ambitious. I think it's even going to be longer than that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, let's check out the mailbag.
Well, Tom, you had a fun show from Las Vegas yesterday. And
Yeah.
And in response to that, Anand Jr. wrote in regarding the talk about technology that you need to prepare for an event where you're not at your home setup. Anand wrote, had to laugh at the trust but prepare anyway attitude towards venues. I used to roadie for a local Christian rock band, and I remember stuff like the venue promising there was a great monitor setup, only to arrive and find all they had was a single small monitor wedged between the vocalist mics. Wasn't the first or last time what was promised and what was there ended up being different.
Yeah, there are a few reactions like that from our conversation yesterday. I'm glad so many of you enjoyed hearing a little bit of that behind the scenes, a little bit of that brass tacks sort of setup stuff. And thanks again to Ibbot and Scott for being willing to talk about that as well. And thanks again to all the people. We had a packed house who came and watched the show. So many of you said nice things afterward. Mark and Amanda came up and were telling me how much they liked it. Tina was telling me how much she liked it. Even Christine was telling me, like, people who had never seen the show before were very into it. So it was really fun. I'm glad we did it. We should do more of that, I think. Just saying.
Let's get on the road.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a driverless. Well, I guess it could be a driverless truck carrying our stuff.
We would just be in the back of the
semi.
We're
just freight. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Sounds big.
Also, something happened to me during my travels this weekend that involved Netflix. I got caught by the Netflix password crackdown and couldn't watch Netflix when I wanted to watch it. We're going to discuss how I got around that and why I'm not even mad. I'm just fascinated by the whole thing.
Ooh, this is a good reason to check out GDI today. But just a reminder, you can catch our show, DTNS, is live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. That is 2000 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We're back tomorrow with Eileen Rivera, my Apple Vision Show co-host, joining us. Talk to you then.
The DTNS family of podcasts, helping each other understand.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.